There used to be trade-offs between Lightning and Fiat. UX versus sovereignty. UX versus speed. UX versus cost. Off-the-shelf Fiat payment widgets versus coding a node into an app. With the Breeze SDK, Lightning beats Fiat across the board. It's faster to implement. As Ross says, it's like one or two API calls to set up a node, one to send a payment and one to receive a payment. Cheaper to use, legally less complicated, more private, and the UX is on par with Fiat for the user and even better for the developers. The best in Bitcoin made audible. I am Guy Swan, and this is Bitcoin Audible. What is up, guys? Welcome back to Bitcoin Audible. I am Guy Swan, the guy who has read more about Bitcoin than anybody else you know. And we are on read 771 today, and it is another piece from Roy Scheinfeld over at Breeze, breeze.technology. If you've listened to the show for any time, you know about Breeze, and I highly recommend Roy's other pieces. The Fork in the Road, or the Lightning, Two Paths for Lightning article was really one of the best. I really thought that was like a big one that kind of cemented something that I had been trying to figure out myself. And he's just always kind of had his finger on the pulse of the state of the Lightning Network and the ecosystem in general and what it needs in order to move forward. I mean, Breeze pioneered the idea of the LSP, and Lightning service providers are basically the norm now. Every major wallet that just works is built around that model, and it's non-custodial. It's a means of creating a dynamic network environment where people can provide a non-custodial payment and liquidity service, which is a huge deal. And, you know, it's not obvious at first that that role is how that problem was going to be solved. So I always highly recommend Roy, Breeze, like everything they're doing over there. I think they just have like a brilliant way of looking at it. And he's just kind of, it seems like he's always been in front of everything. And I do not think it's any different. I think we're looking at the situation again when we talk about Blockstream's Greenlight and the Breeze SDK, which this combination of these two services, of the nodes as a service and the API, the SDK, for plugging directly into the Breeze LSP. And they even said that will allow you to use a different LSP at some point in the future. Right now, it's just Breeze, but that apparently it's intended to be a more general platform for doing this. I don't really know where progress or timeline is for that. I just know that was part of the conversation. But this enables Lightning to just be turned on by the user, by the app. It starts in a matter of seconds, and it just works. The payments always go through. And he has an article today that just kind of shows an example of an app that's about to come out and showing why it is that Lightning fits in where Fiat fails, and it's just going to enable something that's not possible in any other context. And this is just the sort of thing where Lightning is going to shine. And I think we are poised for an incredible amount of growth in the Lightning ecosystem as we move into this next bull run. So real quick, I just want to thank the Fold card and the Fold app. I got some food on DoorDash today. I was in a completely slammed, and it was really great. I think I got 3.5% back on DoorDash. And a lot of times, actually, it's like 7%. But I got some food sent my way so I could keep working. I didn't have to be distracted, and I got sats back. And add to that, anything that I buy in fiat, I get sats back. I just can't fathom going back to a normal debit card. And FYI, they are offering 100,000 sats for anybody who wants to sign up with my link, bitcoinaudible.com/fold. Next up, I had a number of you hit me up on Nodeless that you set up a donation page. One of you, I can't even remember what account it was. But you're like, actually, it was as easy as you said it was. You're right. And it is. It's literally like three steps. There's no subscription. There's no obligation. There's no KYC, nothing. You just go with my link, bitcoinaudible.com/nodeless. Go set up, you know, just username and email. There's a donation page option over in the left toolbar. You click on it, you fill it out, and then you have a public link. Send it to me, and I can send you 10,000 sats. I've had a lot of people take me up on it now, and I might be running out of sats. So if you still want to get that, you should do it. And then where are you going to point those sats to? Where are you going to direct it? You put your withdrawal address in to your cold card. That way you know you hold your keys. Nodeless holds all the front end, and it just goes straight to your cold storage. And if you don't have a cold card yet, because it's okay, it's okay. We all make mistakes. But this is one you can remedy. And with 9% off, you can get your cold card. It's only a mistake if you keep not getting a cold card. Use code BitcoinAudible. You can go right there with the link. All the details are in the show notes. Check them out. And with that, let's get into today's read. And it's titled, Building on Lightning: How Satomoto is Beating Fiat with the Breeze SDK, by Roy Scheinfeld. We've told you about the Breeze SDK and why it's necessary for Lightning to grow and to make Bitcoin into a currency, but maybe that's all a little abstract. Examples help to illustrate arguments, and as ever more developers use the SDK in their apps to provide Lightning functionality, examples are popping up all around. Let me introduce you to one in particular, Satomoto, because it provides a really clear case study of how the SDK can solve real-world Lightning problems, and how, implemented cleverly, Lightning can do things fiat can't. Satomoto uses Lightning to solve fiat's problem. Ross is Satomoto's experienced lead developer. When Ross's young family opted to buy an electric car for day trips and such, he discovered that finding available charging stations required about 6 different apps for a single metropolitan area, and each of those apps required him to submit a range of personal and payment information to obtain their card. Whatever you think about the privacy implications of submitting all that data to a range of corporations, this is just a UX nightmare. 6 different apps, each with its own map? 6 different cards for a single service? No wonder most of us are still burning Mesozoic corpses in our cars. Then the pandemic hit, and Ross had some spare time, which is the most valuable resource in any development project. Satomoto became his second most important pandemic project after his toddler. Ross designed Satomoto to solve the UX problems he discovered in the charging station apps. With Satomoto, users can see nearby charging stations from a whole range of operators on a single map, and they can pay to charge at any of those stations with a single app, and without divulging their personal information. The first fundamental choice he faced, fiat or Lightning, was made for him. After some research, he found that processing payments in Europe with any method that takes custody of customers' funds, quote, basically requires a banking license. Researching regulations in offshore jurisdictions was slow and cumbersome. His conclusion? Satomoto had to be non-custodial Lightning for mundane, practical reasons of feasibility. Incidentally, Lightning made good business sense, too. Ross found that using Lightning allowed him to undercut the competition's commission fees by about 30%, and operators can receive their payments immediately rather than having to wait up to 12 weeks for fiat payment processors. Banks and credit card companies are slow and expensive, and the customer always ends up footing the bill. Ideology and orange pilling are unlikely to convert the masses. A better UX and paying less will get them every time. The catch: a built-in node wouldn't work. Ross knew a thing or two about Lightning because he had previously been playing around with a Lightning payment app. Yes, it was Breeze. He found it worked pretty well. So well, in fact, that he copied some of our design. In particular, he put a full LND node in the Satomoto app, just like the Breeze app. Thinking like a user, Ross realized an LND node would solve his problem as a developer, but would cause problems for users down the road. Each node needs precious processor cycles, power, the user's attention, and other scarce resources on a mobile device. If every app with payment functionality on a phone required its own built-in node, the hardware would become unusable. But if we or Ross tried to pile a dozen apps on top of a single node in a single universal app, the software would be unusable. Call it the Swiss Army knife problem. The Breeze SDK solved or dissolved the problem. The paradox, then, was how to build Satomoto around non-custodial Lightning payments without putting a node on the user's phone. It's like asking how to propel a vehicle without installing any kind of motor. Solution, maglev. Or how to cook food without heat. Solution, curing. The Breeze SDK is the solution. Instead of local nodes, it leverages Greenlight nodes. They're non-custodial nodes in the cloud that any app can access for Lightning payments. Multiple apps, one node, no custody. But a universal node is only universal in theory until users and their apps can access it, and they can only access it once developers write the code. And that's where the Breeze SDK really cooks. It allows developers like Ross to add non-custodial Lightning to their apps within a matter of hours or even minutes. Receiving payments? No problem. Making payments? Piece of cake. Swapping on and off chain? Easy. Connecting to the network and balancing channels? Stop trolling me with child's play, you casual. The Breeze SDK doesn't solve the Swiss Army knife problem as much as dissolve it, makes it invisible, annihilates it from existence. The Breeze SDK makes Lightning work in the backend over a range of apps, so that apps like Satomoto can focus on the front-end business of serving users in any jurisdiction. Now Satomoto's only geographical constraint is the reach of the charging station operators. Our SDK dissolves borders. There used to be trade-offs between Lightning and fiat. UX versus sovereignty. UX versus speed. UX versus cost. Off-the-shelf fiat payment widgets versus coding a node into an app. With the Breeze SDK, Lightning beats fiat across the board. It's faster to implement. As Ross says, it's like one or two API calls to set up a node, one to send a payment and one to receive payment. Cheaper to use, legally less complicated, check your jurisdiction, more private, and the UX is on par with fiat for the user, and even better for the developers. Ross noticed immediate UX improvements with the SDK relative to a local node. Because of the node, the old Satomoto took about 30 seconds to boot up and be ready to use. With the SDK, that has dropped to less than 3 seconds. And thanks to the LSP operating invisibly in the background, Ross and his users can ignore issues like how they're connected to the rest of the Lightning network and whether they have sufficient inbound liquidity for refunds and other incoming payments. As Ross has said from his experience in building Satomoto, quote, "The puzzle of making all the pieces fit together in building a service is now much easier than it used to be because the SDK removes many pieces." While not yet publicly available, a Satomoto version running on the Breeze SDK is all coded, tested, and ready to drop imminently. So you'll soon be able to experience the difference yourselves. What to build next? In the startup world, there's the trope of the idea guy, someone with no clue about engineering or business, but thinks he'd be the next Edison if he could only find the right co-founder to realize his many visions. Everybody knows an idea guy, but nobody takes them seriously. Whenever they call, we're always just about to rush out the door. Coincidence. But the Breeze SDK is so easy that even idea guys can build their own apps. There's no reason to be intimidated by the technology anymore. A good idea is now worth a lot more because executing it has become so much easier. Ross mentioned three ripe areas for new apps with SDK-enabled Lightning. Dynamic content, i.e. streaming sats for streaming content. Making more intelligent energy grids with real-time pricing. For example, imagine getting paid by the electric company to wash a load of laundry or charge your car because you're taking load off the grid. Or social micropayments on the order of children's allowances and splitting bar tabs. Look at us. We got ideas. We're all idea guys and gals and whatevers. But thanks to the Breeze SDK, we're all builders now too. So let's go build. This episode is brought to you by The Fold Card. And also the Fold app. And I just, for some reason, it doesn't seem like a lot of people know this. You can get gift cards on the Fold app with sats back with Lightning. You can pay Lightning to get gift cards. So if you want to use Lightning day to day, Fold is actually a great way to do that. So even if you're not signing up for the debit card, which you can do the free version of the debit card, I don't know why you wouldn't at least try that. In fact, the promotion we have still gives you 100,000 sats. It'll basically, if you go buy something for $20 on the free version of the debit card, they'll give you 100,000 sats. So you basically pay for your first purchase. But aside from that, you don't have to use the debit card. But I would have the app, like download the app and just make an account, because you can get gift cards with Lightning. If you're like me and you want to live on Bitcoin as much as you possibly can, Fold is kind of indispensable for a lot of different reasons. Aside from that, obviously, it's hard to beat their debit card. You get sats back on literally everything that you buy using fiat. Now, I'm not sure if you guys remember or if you were listening not too long ago when I withdrew 22 million sats from my Fold card or from the Fold app that I had stacked over, I don't know, like 2 years of using it. Well, I've got another 2.7 million sats available in the app. And again, I just use this as my daily driver debit card. My wife has it in her Apple Pay, and she just pays everything with Apple Pay. So everything that we do goes to the Fold card. And we get sats back on all of it. It is a cheat code for fiat. And you lucky mofos can get 100,000 sats for free by using my link. It's right there in the show notes, so you can't miss it. All right, so the reason... One of the reasons I really like this example is it's just really simple, but it's just really cool in the fact that it genuinely does something that fiat can't do by aggregating these things and enabling payments within the app. The big thing was the fact that getting around the regulation in order to pay for the electric card for the charging services. And I really think the regulatory arbitrage available with non-custodial node and hosting style services with Greenlight and then the SDK and the Lightning service provider and all of these things, the regulatory arbitrage is a huge, huge undertapped market. And one thing I don't know if I even quite realized this about the Breeze SDK until I read this and then it kind of clicked. And maybe it was something that we've touched on before and I've just kind of like forgotten. But the fact that you can actually use the same node across multiple apps, so you're not having to make redundant infrastructure and redundant channels and set up multiple wallets, it's an API to continually connect to your essentially your Lightning service, your Lightning hosting, while still never handing over the keys. It's still a completely non-custodial relationship. And it's just so interesting to think about the many different things that you should be able to do with that. And I want to see, I so desperately want to see, and I know it's not totally public yet, or at least Satomoto isn't, but the ease with which you could integrate Lightning or you could integrate something that you've already used. So think about it from the fact that there might be certain apps or certain services that you're far more likely to receive payment for. And therefore, you know, you want to have a lot of liquidity. Well, you don't need to worry about liquidity. That's kind of the kicker here. But when you do get liquidity from the Breeze Lightning, the LSP, is that with the other services or the other apps that you plug into where you might be more likely to spend payments, where you might be more likely to spend, you know, Lightning on, you know, Fold gift cards or on the Thunder Games thing, you're streaming sats on a video platform or playing video games, but then you get a payout on, let's say you enter a tournament in a video game and you get the payout of sats at the end of it. Well, you're not breaking up your liquidity. You're not breaking up your channel situation. It's all built right into the fact that you can utilize the exact same node across multiple services, but then you're not having to depend on a Raspberry Pi or anything like that. You can always just use your own like hardcore, I'm running my node self-custodial, fully self-custodial and self-sovereign sort of setup to just offload anything from your mobile wallet. So you're basically two steps removing the level of risk associated with the service, and you're also completely offloading. You're just removing the responsibility or the need to even understand the liquidity problem, the node and channel management, the 24/7 uptime. Greenlight and Breeze are basically 100% behind the scenes doing those jobs for you. But you're in a mobile environment where you can instantly boot up your setup you can have LNURL, you can have a DNS thing. Like that's the really cool thing is that if, since you have permanent hosting, you can have all of these options that you weren't able to get in a non-custodial way previously. So like a really great example and something I would love to see really, really quickly is that, you know, Albi and Wallet of Satoshi, I'm constantly recommending those for Zaps. My go-to recommendation for people, especially if they're coming on Nostr or something like that, is get an Albi account or get a Wallet of Satoshi custodial wallet. In both cases, they're custodial because you get an address. You get a, mine's the Guy Swan at getalbi.com and the Guy Swan at walletofsatoshi.com. So I have these receiving addresses and I don't have to be online. I don't have to think about it. Just that service will let me get paid with what looks like an email address, which is something normies perfectly understand. Like they see, it's like, oh, it's just an address for rather than receiving email, I receive money. Could not be simpler from the context of UX or just the understanding of the typical person's perspective. Like that's something that can that really easily fit in. And then I say, but download the Phoenix wallet and every few days withdraw to that Phoenix wallet, send it to your Phoenix wallet. Because the problem is, and it's the only reason, like I would tell people, you know, on like Nostr or something, like you could just go ahead and get Phoenix wallet, except for the fact that you can't receive a payment while you're offline. You can't, well, I take that back. You don't have DNS without a service, without some sort of, you know, address. Like you have to have walletofsatoshi.com to have a ClearNet facing way for them to communicate with you. And more specifically, to communicate with you while you're offline, while your phone's off, while your node is off, etc. Phoenix has done a phenomenal job, and I'm really interested to see what the new Breeze is like, just because it utilizes Greenlight and the Breeze SDK that, well, is going to. But I've just been waiting for it. I actually closed my... Breeze was my dominant Lightning wallet for a long, 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 long time. And I might go back to it. I'll still probably use Phoenix just because I really like Phoenix. But without a doubt, I'm going to be using Breeze. And in fact, if Breeze is using the SDK, the cool thing about it is the Breeze wallet could basically be my management, my front ends, the wallet interface, so that I can more specifically see all of the wallet items and the channels and anything, any of the custom stuff or the kind of quote unquote pro user sort of features and data that I might want to see about my position on the Lightning Network. But then I can still use that same wallet, and rather than needing to, you know, have it open links from other apps, and like the integration would be simple because they're already using the Breeze SDK, so I just use the same node setup, whatever their connect to my node is with their API, and then immediately I'm using that wallet within the other app. So I don't have to constantly switch back and forth. Like that's something with Phoenix, even though they've simplified that interface with a lot of different things that I use, like Nostr is a great example, as I use Plebster and I use Domus and a couple other options that I just kind of tinker around with on iOS. But when I'm trying to zap, I still have to jump over to Phoenix, even though I've got it so that it automatically knows to tag the Phoenix app and to go open it and put in the invoice. That's great and everything, but I do have to wait for another app to boot up. And it's a few seconds and then a confirmation and then punch in your details and hit send. Now, having that actually within the app, not having to switch. I mean, I know that kind of sounds like first world problems, but it matters. It matters that you're having to change the flow of what you are doing. Like, imagine if I'm on Nostr, I'm on Domus or whatever it is, and I zap somebody and it just gives me a little confirmation you want to zap. It just gives me an OK button. A yes or cancel button, and then it just goes. It's not built in anything else, but I can still go over to Breeze and see all my wallet details. I can see my transaction history because the API is to the node, which is external, whereas my keys are all local. That's such a cool thing. And I think this is a huge, huge deal for where things need to go moving forward. And it's one of the brilliant ways in which you can utilize the way this technology works to provide something that's not possible in any other context. Fiat can't hold a candle to this. And best of all, is that this is going to be easy to integrate. Not only will it be easy for the user in the context of how to make use of it, but easy for the developers to plug it in without having to think about anything complicated. In fact, it's probably, we've already talked about it, but the app that I'm building that my good friend Robbie is building and that I've been paying him and telling him what to do, because that's my brilliant contribution. But the app, the program that he's building that I think is going to be, I mean, it solves a crucial and infuriating problem of mine for the better part of a decade, actually the better part of 2 decades. And I'm just kind of shocked that the ability to solve this problem is actually out there and it hasn't been utilized. But one of the big things we want to do is integrate Lightning. And we talked back and forth a number of different times about how we want to integrate it. And it just, when we talked about the Breeze SDK, everything just clicked. It's like, well, yeah, because we can do it in a matter of, I mean, probably in under an hour, we can get it plugged in and sort it out. Like when we have the sort of commands that we have on our app side that we know we want to use it to control, basically treat it like a paywall. Well, then that's it. You just put the Breeze SDK API right in front of it. So from the context of the example he gave at the end of the idea guy, everybody knows a freaking idea guy and nobody can build anything. Well, for better or worse, I'm a bit of an idea guy. But this is the crazy thing is I know we're able to actually accomplish this because of how easy it is. And then when you talk about AI and the other things that I've talked about on AI Unchained and the way that I'm able to utilize just my basic knowledge of code and being able to kind of look at a set of stuff and kind of mentally follow what's happening has been a godsend. It's like I'm a prosumer when it comes to programming or, you know, shell scripting or something like that. Like I could write a script by myself if I really needed to. Like if you put a gun to my head and said, write something that, you know, does 5 different tasks or something, I could maybe pull it off. Like I have written some bash scripts and stuff. It's just so tedious and I hate it. But all the little micro apps that I've been able to do with ChatGPT and CodeGPT and what's the one on Prim? Is it Replit? No, I don't think I have enough RAM to do that one. What's the one on Prim? God bless it. I can't remember what the name of the freaking thing I'm running. Whatever. There's another code-specific LLM on one of the apps that I'm doing for just basically hosting a bunch of different models and playing around and doing a bunch of different things. But the remarkable number of apps I've been able to put together for something simple like that. Like, holy crap, like, I just for the other day, actually, is a great example. Is I was trying to get Prim running on my Linux machine, on the new AI machine that I've built. And I could not, I was having a really weird problem. And it was most likely just because of drivers and some NVIDIA kind of conflict that was going on. I've saved the terminal output to try to figure out exactly what it was, like pinpoint exactly what it was that was a problem. Because I had to refresh NVIDIA drivers, even though I got the Pop! OS version that had them already. But something was disconnecting, and Prim was not booting up for me. And so I was going through their docs, was going through their instructions, and I did a few different things to try to correct it. And it seemed like I got rid of the error, but when I went back to the install script, something was still getting in the way. And so literally what I did is I went to, I think I used ChatGPT for this one. But I had sent a message in Discord and I'd looked for their community and I had sent somebody that I was talking to from Prim, Filippo, really cool guy. But I sent a bunch of people messages like, I can't sort this out. I'm not sure what the hell the bottleneck is here. But I was kind of at a loss. And I was like, you know what? Screw it. Let's go to ChatGPT. Let's just see what happens. And so I just was overly explanatory in all the stuff. And so I put in the commands for the install, I put in the commands for the drivers. I copied my terminal output and, you know, specifically pointed out like, so this is my error. And I just went through like a bunch of different things and they gave me like, ChatGPT gave me a few things to try. Now, because it hallucinates, I was a little bit like, why? I don't know if I just want to run all of these commands. So just kind of like basic looked up, like, what does this command do sort of thing? I kind of went through piece by piece, a sort of, you know, don't trust verify, and ended up doing a few different things and trying to go back to the install script every single time. And the situation was changing. I was getting different errors, different results in the terminal, which was good because, I mean, if something's changing, that means, you know, if something changes, you can actually troubleshoot it. But I kept going back and I kept feeding more of like the docs from Prim into ChatGPT. I guess it was like 10 minutes, maybe 15 minutes. It was really quick. It sorted out what the problem was. And it had me delete what was happening is that I did the install script, and because everything was built in Docker, it built these Docker containers for the app that weren't right because I didn't have the drivers and I didn't have some of the other stuff that I needed. And so when I tried to do the install script after I solved those problems, it wouldn't replace the old containers. But the error wasn't being clear that that's what happened. So it took us a little bit of finagling and back and forth before ChatGPT basically gave me the answer and said, it seems like you have containers that are getting in the way of the ones you're trying to make. Punch in this command and delete the containers. And again, I just went through the Docker, what's the command, confirmed that this is the command to delete and that, you know, I wasn't causing myself a problem. I did it, did the install script, everything booted up. And it was before any of the real people could get back to me and figure out what the problem was. There was no Google search. Prim is too new to even like do a bunch of stuff, like to have a history, you know, an index of people who had problems. Now, if AI allows me to do that, and is that useful at troubleshooting problems, and that I can just kind of give it the data and the code of the stuff that I'm working on, even when I don't fully understand what's happening, I just give it like a log file. Like, there's no way. Like, I'm going to be able to build a lot of stuff, and not even just because of the Breeze SDK, but because of the other tools we have that can utilize it. Like, I'm going through the documentation on the Breeze SDK, and it all looks really simple. And again, I wouldn't fully feel comfortable by myself to just, you know, start building things and integrating this. But I'll tell you, a simple micro app that I immediately was like, okay, I would want to build this. And this is something that I could completely confidently do because it's not even a spending money sort of situation, is to have something running on my desktop, or let's say my AI machine, because it's always going to be online and just kind of doing its thing, is to build there's a backup, static backup file on the Breeze SDK, or a command on the Breeze SDK. So I could just set up something that is just like my backup, that whenever new channels open or close, any liquidity changes and stuff in my Breeze node or in my Breeze a Lightning wallet, and no matter how many different apps I'm using, whether I'm using Satomoto or Breeze or maybe a gaming or a, you know, streaming sats video app, whatever it is that I have plugged into it, that I just always have this instance that's just constantly checking to see if it needs to make a new backup, and when it does, it does. It's all connected to the same setup. And so not only do I have a mobile first, incredibly fast, lightweight means to use a non-custodial Lightning wallet and Lightning node setup, but I also have an always-on, quote-unquote, node at home that's ready to go to help me recover if I ever run into a snag, or if I lose my phone. I've always got my Lightning channels backed up and ready to recover, and I've managed to do this. This is also something that I can boot up into CLN, into the core Lightning instance, and do myself. So with the combination of those two things is a constant backup of my channels, and then it's non-custodial in the sense that I have the keys. Like, the one big thing is that if Greenlight goes down or Breeze LSP goes down, if I run into a bunch of problems with my service, with the hosting going down, well, now I also have a sovereign backup. And I can recover and find out what, I can get my channels back with my seed and my static channel backup. And all I have to do is call one command, one API pull, and something that just checks it periodically. And basically, a handful of the biggest challenges of Lightning are gone. I mean, like he said, they just kind of dissolve. And when a lot of the pieces of this are just a simple API, I don't know, it just seems like there's such a huge, huge potential for the ways that this can expand so quickly, so quickly. Like, that's what really gets me about this is, I know we're in the middle of a bear market, and, you know, quote unquote, not a lot is going on, even though River Financial has that report, which, by the way, I said it was ARK Invest, and it was because I was reading at the exact same time. ARK Invest is a really great Lightning report, and I think it was a 2022 report that I read on the show. I was also reading their like monthly, like kind of on-chain, like stats breakdown stuff, which has a couple of good tidbits in it. But, you know, just trying to stay up on stuff. But it was actually River Financial that has the new Lightning report, and it's 43 pages. I didn't realize it was 43 pages when I said I was going to read it on the show. I'm still probably going to read it on the show. So, but there are a lot of graphs. I haven't actually gotten through it. I just kind of ran through like the first three pages to kind of get the feel for it, but we'll see if the whole thing really works. But I know there's probably it's just one of those things. It's just got so much good information. I would love for as many people as possible. Like 43 pages, it's just one of those things. You know, a lot of you guys message me about this. Like, I ain't got time to read this shit. Guy, come on, help me out. And that's kind of what I think about it too, is I see a report like that and it's being shared by like a ton of people. I'm like, man, 98% of you sons of bitches aren't reading this thing. So I would like to have it available in the show for all of you that I know are kind of loosely interested in it and would love to get the details, but just aren't going to sit down, even if you save it. And it's something that I even do a lot still, is I'll save something and be like, oh, I'm definitely coming back to this. And then 3 years later, I was like, oh, there it is in that folder. I totally forgot about that. So we'll see. Hopefully it won't be something that I can get done in a day. 43 pages is a lot for recording. But anyway, this mostly I'm just kind of ranting nonsense now. But I thought Satomoto, I thought just this article, because an example is so, just gives a much clearer picture of exactly why and how this is going to be a huge, big, like a huge deal. And I just, even though I've not gotten to see it in practice, you know, it seems like Blockstream and Breeze are moving very, very slowly, very meticulously to make sure that this works in the best possible way. And they're not rushing anything. And there's a lot of projects that I have been exactly, this is kind of what I think about Keat and a lot of the things that are happening with Hole Punch, because Noster is a little bit more on the move fast and break things. Like, they have just been building like mad. Whereas there's a number of projects that I'm also crazy, crazy stoked about, because just an enormous amount of potential that have just been on the sidelines, that have been kind of in the shadows for a really, really long time. And we're about to see them come to the surface. And we're about to get to play with them. And I just think this is a huge deal. I think this is going to make this next bull run look crazy. And then to also just go like to the River Financial report, like their assessment of the payment volume. And somebody even, I'm sorry, I would love to give you a shout out, but I lose my notifications so fast on Twitter now. It's just a nightmare. I don't even try to go back and find them. But somebody responded to my comment about the Lightning thing and said that they had like nearly 1,000 payments or something in the last, like, I don't know, period of months, half a year or something like that. And that, like, only two of them were on chain. And basically at this point, anything sub $1,000 that I'm dealing with in Bitcoin is on Lightning. It's the primary mode of interaction. In fact, almost sometimes, except for the fact that I've now got it set up with my tap signer and my cold card, so I can just kind of tap. It had always seemed like, oh, I have to go back to on chain for this. These guys don't have Lightning. Like, I would run into that situation, and I remember thinking, because I remember there was this time 2 years ago that I was desperately looking for anybody who would take Lightning. And where can I use Lightning? Because I was excited about it. Breeze was working really well. And, you know, I was, you know, finally getting into this new space, and the liquidity provision was getting sorted out. And the model, so to speak, for how to run Lightning on mobile was really getting clean. But it wasn't easy. I guess 2 years ago, it was 2021. Jesus, time flies. I guess it's probably more 2019, 2020 era, because it was probably 2021 when things really started to kick off. But I just remember there was a time where payments would fail, where it was hard to find people who accepted Lightning. Like, it was kind of the odd man out. And now I literally think of it the reverse, to the point that I don't think about it And then when I realized that on-chain is the only option, I'm a little bit like, oh, okay. Let me go get my cold card. It's definitely the oddity. It's definitely the secondary mode of interaction. Lightning is first. And then to see so many people on Nostr specifically who just write into Lightning. They don't know anything else. That's huge. That's huge because the Breeze SDK, I remember I tried to get, I was with a friend of mine, JC. We did a video together on what it's like to live on Bitcoin in 2020. And we got somebody in Best Buy. We just did a stupid video of us running around town. Good video, actually. It was really entertaining. But we ran around town, did a lot of video, talked to a bunch of people. And one of the things, like one of the guys in Best Buy was like really excited. He was like, oh, yeah, I know that Bitcoin thing. And so we set him up on the Breeze wallet, but this was when Breeze was a full node on your phone, a Neutrino node, like, so it was a light client, but still it was a full node, as in you're running the whole Bitcoin client software just in a light mode. But remember, we had to wait for the first channel to open in order for things to kind of kick off and for it to sync. And that was a horrible way to start. I mean, it ended up being fine because the guy wasn't like in like a hurry, and we ended up doing other things around Best Buy for a little bit, and I still sent him the payment and it was really cool, but it was not that seamless user experience. And it's just so cool to think that today all of that's gone. And not only that, all of it's gone, not just in one app, not just in a Bitcoin wallet, but potentially in plugging into as a developer into any app. And to use all of your apps together, and you never have to wait for anything. It takes seconds to boot up your node, and you're immediately ready to go, and Lightning just works. That is a freaking game changer. So with that, thank you guys. I hope you enjoyed this article. As always, a huge thank you to Roy for the amazing work that they do, and a huge thank you to Fold, the Fold debit card, to the cold card, and well, CoinKite in general, TapSign are all the great services and or hardware products that I use. That's where my Fold Sats go, right? To my cold card. And Nodeless, that makes it dirt simple. No subscription, no KYC, no obligation. Set up and receive Bitcoin online on my website, charity, project, whatever it is that I want. BTC Pay Simple. Check out all of our amazing sponsors. And if you haven't taken the dive into Lightning, it's time. And I'll catch you on the next episode of Bitcoin Audible. Until then, guys, take it easy, everybody. It takes considerable knowledge just to realize the extent of your own ignorance. Thomas Sowell.